Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning I'd like to talk to you about receiving your own. We've heard that so many times in churches, especially metaphysical churches, that what you are is what you get. So we're enjoined to be better people through the things that we can let go, walk away from, forgive, and move towards a newness of life. And when I think of receiving your own, I think about the law of sowing and reaping. In Scripture, Jesus talks about seed that falls on fertile ground and rocky ground. But one of the things that it has in common is that both of them sprout. It's just on the fertile ground, it's a little more abundant and prolific. And I think that meant that the ground of being, the fertile, open, loving, forgiving essence, is going to bear more fruit than the one that is rocky and barren. Even though it will bear it, it may not be in the abundance that we'd like or we would want to see. So in receiving your own and the things that you want, the things that mean something to you, there is a preparatory process. And I think in metaphysics and in some churches, we thought we can short-circuit that process by a few affirmations here and there and reading a book, and that does it. I remember The Secret by Rhonda Byrne, which is really a very good primer about what we're about. It's just kind of like she did it on 78 RPM. It was, you know, do it, get it, and that's that. And while there's so many wonderful things in that, and I'm not criticizing it, I think we have to realize that patterns that we've established or things we need to learn take some time, and eventually that will come to fruition what we'd like or something better, because God does react and respond to us. So those things that we seed for, think about, things that we think, if I read this, it's done, that can be true, but the process can be extended sometimes, and we go through a period of saying, will this ever end? Am I going to really grow from this? What does this mean? And I'm here to tell you today that what you become in the process of planting your seed and expecting your harvest is every bit as much as important as the goal you have. The process of becoming is the process of life itself, because it's lived in increments of now. So if I set an intention or a goal and I'm ready to run towards that, and I do with great fervor, I miss sometimes the things that are right under my nose that are there for my highest growth and for the things that maybe somebody's with me that needs to learn. I'm so, in other words, single-minded that I'm forgetting the process of life. How many times have you set an intention and a goal and you realize that once you received it, half the fun was getting there? And you look back and you think, I remember this struggle because it taught me this, or I remember those lean days because, after all, I was able to squeeze some fun out of it. And that's the wonder and the joy of living. And so I don't want us to get where we're so this and this and this that we don't have the flow and we don't enjoy the process. You know, there's in a wave, there is a trough and there's a peak, but they're all the same thing. It's all part of the same thing. So your life is your work of art, your masterpiece. And I've talked about that before, about your life being a canvas that you take the colors and paint what you choose. What a wonderful gift that is to do, to have and to do. In receiving your own, I think you have to realize that planting the seed for what you want is preparatory for your growth. In other words, you know ahead of time by what you're doing at that time, planting this seed, what you would like to see a harvest of. Now, it doesn't mean that when it sprouts that it's all going to be necessarily for you. It might be for somebody close to you. It might be for the good of someone around you. But you have declared an intention to have something happen in your life. One changed life is worth 100 sermons. One changed life is worth 100 books. I would rather see a sermon than hear one any day. And I'm a minister. You know, if words I hope words are never outlawed. I hope nobody ever gets it just perfectly. I'd be out of a job. But also, in another way, I do, because I want each one of you and everyone to live so by their inner lights and so by their own choice and intention that they know this second nature. And I think there'll always come times that we have to be reminded of this. And I think that we come together to encourage one another. And so in the process of planting the seeds that we want to see bear fruit in our life, we know that the process is something that has to go we have to go through. Time has to water, so to speak. And in the time that you set your intention, in the time that you plant the seed for what you want, remember something that's very important. Don't be so impatient with the process that you give up. Affirmative thought and affirmative living demands from us vigilance. We can become complacent. We can plant something, walk away from it, not pay it a lot of attention, and then wonder why it bore the fruit that it did. It was left unattended. It was left not thought about. It was left not affirmed. We can go on down the line like that. And you see, in the process of planting these seeds, in the process of becoming what we want to be, getting what we want to have, we'll be remembered for two things: the problems that we solve and the problems that we create. Everything that we do has ramifications. So today, let's step back a minute from this seed planting and think about what we really want to see a harvest of in our life. There's nothing wrong at all with seeding for a new car, a new house, a new job, a new relationship. That's wonderful. What you become in the process is very, very important. Getting what you want is also a milestone where you say, I feel good, I've gotten it, what's next? We're creating entities. We are here to reproduce. We are here to continue this wonderful cycle of life. Sometimes things impinge from the outside that we wish didn't happen, but I also think they are for our growth, for our advancement, upliftment, for something that we need to know whether we made an agreement as wise souls eons ago to come here and experience this, or whether we're here by what some people would say is a cosmic accident, which I don't believe. But I have to honor the people who believe that, because if I don't, then there's nothing that I can show them that could maybe let them think about it in another way. Nobody likes to be condemned. Nobody likes to be judged. And I'm not threatened, nor my theology is threatened by those who disagree with me. I don't feel the need to condemn them or be afraid of them. I want my life to be an example. So I set an intention with my seed in ministry to go forth and help people be better. And in the same time, I'm becoming better when I do that. It's a process that's joined together, because truly, we really are all one. And when you get down to it, we pretty much want the same things out of life. We want happiness. We want health. We want wholeness. We want joy. We want completeness. Pretty much the same things that everybody wants we do. We have individual ideas about what that looks like. And so the individual ideas are what I really would like to talk to you about this morning. When you plant a seed and you decide what it is that you'd like, you can't know exactly how it's going to come about. You don't know all the things that are going to happen. You just know your intention. Make sure your intention is pure. Make sure your intention lines up with the highest and best in you. Make sure that you have taken all the facts into account as much as you can. And then, by an act of faith, by an act of God's own Spirit, those things come to pass in ways, in perfect time, in a perfect way, under grace. That wasn't my words. That was Florence Shen's words from The Game of Life, and they're wonderful. She, to extrapolate a little bit, she said, my desire comes in under a perfect sea of calm, in perfect ways, in perfect times, and in under perfect grace. You see the intention that she set. The idea was, this is what I'm expecting and affirming calmly, confidently, and quietly. The things that we have to yell and shout about are the things that we generally are afraid aren't true, or we just plain afraid. Spirit has no fear. The fears that we're born with are falling and loud noises. We acquire the rest of them. Those are seeds that are planted into us by sometimes well-meaning and sometimes not well-meaning folks who want us to live a certain way and be in a certain lane and do the things that make them feel comfortable. The individuality of us can be squashed under that. That's why we have to do things like this. Come here and join study groups to come forth from our shell and say, this is who I am, regardless of what somebody said or what somebody did or what I went through. This is what I'm finding out about me. I love me, and when I love me, I'm going to love other people. See, it's a process of becoming. The seed is a process of becoming. It starts as a little sprout, and then it begins to grow as it's cared for and watered and, in a way, loved by the earth. And if we don't get in there and pull it up and say that it's not going fast enough, eventually it will come up. And eventually the things that you seed for in your life will come up. And one thing that maybe I've said too much, but I don't think I really can, is that when you are seeding and when you want something, that you add the divine insurance policy, this or something better for the highest good of all concern. That way, what comes about will be under grace in a perfect way. You know, when I was thinking about this message, I thought about a story that I read some years ago that made a very big impression on me. W. Clement Stone and Napoleon Hill wrote a book, Success Through Positive Mental Attitude, by Prentice Hall in 1959. And in that book, they told a story about John D. Rockefeller. Rockefeller was, of course, you know, a billionaire through Standard Oil, and he was a billionaire at a time when it was almost like being a trillionaire. This man had a beautiful home in Kaikit, New York, and there was something, I think, like 25,000 square feet, carriages, barns, stables, all this, horses, everything the man could want. And he became very anxious and nervous over 3-cent postage stamps. He would call his assistant in and say, is it necessary that we spend this money? And it would be 6 cents, 9 cents. The thing about it was, though, when he did this, he was in bed. He was in bed because he was sick. He had worried himself sick over pennies. And the man was a multi-billionaire. It got so bad that he began to drink milk and eat crackers. And the people that were around him were truly afraid that he was going to die. So they called the doctor. And the doctor came in and gave a physical examination to Rockefeller and said, there's nothing wrong with you except in your mind. You are absolutely obsessive about small amounts of money when you don't know what you have here. You're holding on so tight to what you have and worried about what you're giving that you're literally making yourself sick. The doctor left. Rockefeller actually got up out of the bed and started wandering the halls of his beautiful mansion. And for some way, and I'm not sure if it was a song playing audibly or what he heard inside, but he heard something from his youth. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. We know that song as being the tradition from traditional Protestantism, but for some reason it stayed in his mind. And he decided at that moment that he was going to give away half of what he had. And he not only gave away half of what he had, he ended up giving away 3/4 of what he had. He formed universities, hospitals. He helped impoverished areas. He moved this country along, regardless of what you may think about his politics. He was a philanthropist and a wonderful giver. He gave himself back to health. The doctor had said you'll be dead within a year the way you're going. Rockefeller lived to be 98 years old. He gave his way to a new life. The seeds that he planted are still bearing fruit today. Now, I know we're not multi-billionaires, but we all have something we can give. We can give it to ourselves. We can give it to others. I'm a proponent of the idea that when you give to yourself and you do it right, you're going to give to others because they're going to see it. But regardless of your motivation, if you plant the seed and you love it and you believe in it, it comes to pass. And if you say in a perfect way, it may not be exactly what you want, but it will be representative of what you want. H. Emily Cady said, unless it's the truth, I don't think it's our neighbor's house or automobile that we want. I think it's the feeling that accompanies that. It may be the feeling of security. It may be something that represents an expanded and expansive life. I have remembered that there are very few times that I've wanted exactly something I've seen. I thought, that's great, but maybe I'd like it to be a different color or a little bit different. But I really did want the feeling that was associated with that. And that is why the great metaphysicians today are talking about feeling being the secret. You see, our words are important because out of our mouths flow the issues of life. Through the heart and our mouths, we speak into existence certain things. And so what I think is a good idea to do is to remember that our feeling nature, the one that really goes with us when we're not praying or affirming, is really what the reality of us is, and it's what's running us sometimes on autopilot. And so I think it's a good time to bring ourselves up short sometimes and say, what is it that I'm thinking about right now, and do I want that to reproduce? Because in prayer time, we can be so clean and holy. We can say, my intention is wonderful, and God, I give it all up to you. And we may do that, but then we walk away from that prayer, and the same thing runs us. And I believe that the subconscious continually works. It never sleeps, and it's going to reproduce what we don't clear through some way or another. What we plant is going to produce fruitage. Our actions and our intention are what is the author of what we're going to have. So instead of just saying open-ended affirmations, which are fine, or saying I am treating for this, which is wonderful, also maybe go back inside and check our motivations. Check the ideas that we have about ourselves and other people before we say prayer and affirmative thinking doesn't work. I've had people say so many times, this just doesn't work. It hasn't worked for me. I tried it. I said those affirmations for 2 days in a row. Don't say 2 days in a row. But I also found out that there were some things that they were holding on to. A few well-placed questions can get that out of them. Some things that where they weren't exactly clear on something, and they said, well, after all, I maybe need to work on this, or maybe I need to forgive that. Or so you see the process. The clearer you are, the greater the spirit flows. Eric Butterworth talked about it like stepping on a hose. And he said, you know, God's love and power flows like water through a garden hose, but we put our foot on it and kink it by our own actions, our own judgments, our own negativities. We're standing on it and we're wondering why the water's just dribbling out. Step back, let it flow, let it go, and then you have an abundance of power in your life. Lloyd C. Douglas wrote a book called Magnificent Obsession that I love. He likened it to turning on a light. He likened it to the fact that the light without the power is not doing a thing. But when you turn the switch on, it produces light. When you turn your inner switch on, when you seed for something that you know you want and you know is right and you've checked it inside, the power comes on. Because that's the nature of God, to love you, to uphold you, to replicate for you the deepest desires of your heart. Sometimes you may not know the deepest desires of your heart, and that's why meditation, journaling, contemplation, visualization, all those things are so important. As I've found, sometimes the very things that we think we want at the moment are not necessarily what we really want. And we go back and check it again. You see, life is always an inside job. And sometimes, I know me, I didn't like that. I wanted to think it was from out here, that somebody did this to me, that somebody criticized me. But you know what? I've learned something that I kind of like, and that is, if I get criticized about something, if somebody comes to me with something they think I did, didn't do, whatever, I try to take my ego out of it and listen for the information. Is what they're saying true? Is what they're saying through malice? Very rarely. And so I take the information, say, yes, that's true, and I need to do something about it. It is a much more peaceful way to live than to become resistant and stiff and say, I'm being criticized. Very few people start out to hurt you. And when they do, that's their problem. But most of the time, people are doing about the best they can. And if you're upsettable, and if you feel that there may be a little truth in that, it vibrates in such a way that you think, I don't want to think about that, when precisely the thing you need to think about is that. We're mirrors of each other. And so in the ultimate, in this seed planting business, I want to say, plant love first. Forgive what you need to. You know inside what's for your highest good. I believe that each one of you has every bit access to the power of the Almighty as anyone. All we have to do is follow it to that place inside. And then when that is as clear as we can make it, and we feel that our intention is as pure as we can have it, then we can plant and seed and look forward to a new life. Because the wonder of it is, that's what Christ Jesus promised. He taught in parables that had to do with agriculture. If you read the Gospels, you'll know it was seed time, harvest. There were fig trees, there were things, I am the vine, you are the branches. He was talking to farmers. He was talking the language of his day. And at his time, things that bore fruit, things that were expansive, were the things that the farmers wanted, because that's how they ate, that's how they made their living. He spoke to them on their level. And I think were he here today, he would talk to us about that same law of sowing and reaping in ways that we could understand, but not change the basic message that you are what you think about, what you believe about, what you believe about God. As he would say, what's that to you? Follow me. In other words, leave the extraneous behind and walk in a newness of life. That way, and in that way only, I believe, can we receive the abundant harvest that we seed for, that we plan for, that we pray for, that we work for. I have seen people get their heart's desire and be miserable. I have seen people who have thought that their prayers were light and not very good, and that they weren't very good people, whatever, but they were willing to reach out. And then something wonderful's happened. There's also something called serendipity. I think that's God sticking his fingers into our life in unexpected ways. I think grace comes on us at times we may not even know. I don't want to minimize hardships, and I'm not saying that all this is easy. I'm saying it's worth it. I'm saying it's worth the practice. It's worth whatever discipline you have to give yourself to do it. After all, this project that we have, we call life, is 70, 80, 90 years. It's a flash in eternity. It's something that's here today and gone tomorrow. So we might as well make the best of it. We might as well live it the best way we can. And I can tell you that the best way to do that is to be an open and clear channel of communication with the divine leading you in a way that you are able to bless others as you're blessed yourself. Whatever you've been given, somebody needs. I decided to write these things down when they came to me last night because they weren't in the usual part of my practice on Thursday. But what you have, somebody needs. You're somebody's gift. You're somebody's example. You are somebody's hope. That's the interconnectedness and the wonder of this thing called life. So when you seed for something, regardless of what it is, materially, emotionally, mentally, remember, love backs you up. Love is who you are. I love the Course in Miracles for reminding us of that. I've revisited it lately, and I've read some of that beautiful Shakespearean pentameter prose that Helen Schuckman took down, and I have read some sentences that literally blew me away. I think it's worth looking at, again, if you're not familiar with it, but the idea is love is really all you are, and the only thing you're ever going to take with you is the love you give away. So seeding for the things while we need them down here, while it's part of life, that's a very important thing to do. It's part of our human experience. But don't forget at all the love that you are and the love that you give away and that the love that puts you to bed and wakes you up and that beats your heart and inspires you literally. That's all an act of love from the divine. So we'll choose in favor of ourselves. We'll plant the seeds we want to see more of. We'll do the things that we have to do because we know that that is for our best, but it's how we approach it. I always found that when my attitude was lousy about something because I didn't want to do it, then it didn't turn out very well. And it turned out with resentment and frustration on my part. I didn't like that. I'd rather approach it in a way that I may not understand all that there is to this. It may seem to me doing it by rote. It may seem to me doing it in a way that just is boring. But at the end, I will have learned something. And at the end of our lives, we'll have learned something even in those tough times. Your memory replays what happened. Your imagination preplays what will happen. So therefore, take your imagination and imagineer the best for yourself. Imagineer something that's wonderful, that's lovely, that represents your heart's deepest and fondest desire, and you'll find yourself upheld by the very spirit that keeps the planets in space and this universe running. That's the power, and that's the glory, and that's the wonder of life. I give thanks for each one of you for being here today. And I declare this message true and right for you and for me. And so it is.